everyone, and welcome to episode 130 of the Chase the Red Grape podcast. I'm Jen, here with David.
Hello.
And today we are going to do a really cool podcast. It's something that, honestly, we ask each other all the time. Random questions that we ask each other all the time. And that's the concept of, hypothetically speaking, would you? So, hypothetically speaking, would you do this or do that or whatever? And do you know what? Like, it's one of those questions. It's that type of question that I think we all sometimes have a bit of fun, like, asking one another. Although I do know that there's people in this world who get driven insane.
Yeah.
But common ones, you know, would you rather? So I think, would you rather do this or do that? That's kind of like the same kind of ballpark.
Yeah.
With this, hypothetically speaking. So we've got three questions that we're going to kind of ask today and kind of debate over. I haven't really thought too much on how I'm going to react to these questions, because I think sometimes the fun is kind of what comes off the top of your head when you speak it. And, you know, I think that's where you kind of get that reaction like you would if you were in a general conversation with someone. Yeah. So shall we just get cracking?
Go for it.
Okay. So the first question was inspired by an episode of Peaky Blinders that we were watching. We're catching up with that show now that we're back in the UK and can actually watch it. So it was a part of the programme where they were dealing with members of the Communist Party, and we were kind of talking about communism and things like that and the kind of concept of communism. David is here, by the way.
I know. I've said hello a few times.
But I turned around to David and asked, would you work in your job if everyone was paid the same? So if we took the salary of everyone in the world,
or at least in your country,
clumped it all together and divided it out equally, so you still had to do the same job you were doing right now, but you would be paid an equally distributed salary, which, as we all know, if that was the case, in our instance, you would be paid less than you are right now. So you would be doing your job for less than you are right now, if that was the case. So would you still do the job you were doing if everyone was equally paid the same?
So I have two reasonings for my answer. So my general answer is probably yes.
That's not an answer.
No, it's because it's hypothetical. So, like, if you, I'll say yes, because first of all, that's the only thing I really know how to do to a high level. So it makes sense to do that. And in this case, it's not like, well, I'll start again and I'll become a doorstop maker, but I'll still, you know, you have to. So we kind of took that out of the case. So I know how to do that job and I know how to do it fairly well. To me, it's not all about earning £1 million. So that takes that out of it. And I get more enjoyment from the day-to-day stuff than I do the paycheck at the end of the month. So I think that the money isn't the reason that I do that specific job. It's the reason I do a job, because we need money. So that's the thing. But also, earning less isn't a big deal, because if everybody's paid the same, then things like house prices and all these kind of things would fall in line, so that everyone had more of an opportunity to buy something because they're all getting paid the same.
I mean, technically.
Technically. This is all, like, perfect.
You do realise the realities of communism.
Yeah, exactly. And as is shown by all the countries that have done it. But in theory, like, textbook, take all the money, divide by X million people, there would be no £1 million houses, because nobody could get that.
Yeah.
In theory. Hypothetically, nobody could get that. So everybody would be equal. So the house prices would have to be equal, because if Manchester and London and Scotland are all the same pricing, salary, then all the houses would have to be the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me personally, because I'm working towards something as a writer, it's not kind of the right question for me to ask because I'm not quote unquote being paid a salary right now. Someone wants to pay me a salary when I'm not getting paid one right now, bring it on.
Yeah, but, I will get the same as everybody else.
I think when I think about this question as a whole, you know, and I think about some of the people out there who we perceive as being top-paying
professions.
Top-paying professions, so doctors, lawyers, architects, business owners. Would they be happy going out as, say, a doctor and being paid the same as someone who's working in a supermarket? Now, in my mind, I'm like, it all depends on how you define yourself. If you define that person who works in the supermarket could be just as happy, if not happier with their life than the doctor. Yeah, you know, they don't have the stressful working conditions. They don't have the heavy responsibility. They don't have that weight of the world on their shoulders in a hospital, you know, but they probably have a lot of other worries and concerns, but it isn't necessarily because they do that job. But would you still be a doctor and know that you were getting paid as someone that you saw potentially, quote unquote, as having a lesser qualified job than you? I think it all really depends on your ego, how you value yourself and your job, and whether or not you define yourself as your job.
Yeah, and I think that that's the main thing, is the ego side of things, because if you believe that you are better, and by defining better you mean you should earn more money, then this would be impossible for you, because you would have to be paid the same as people that you manage or things like that, or work. You know, if you were being paid the same amount as anybody else and you were a doctor, you probably wouldn't be working all the hours under the sun, because why do you need to do that anymore?
I mean, I'd almost be impressed with those people who would answer the question and go, no, I bloody well wouldn't do it. I'd go and get a job in a supermarket, and I would just be like, right, I'm earning the same amount as everybody else.
Yeah.
And or they'd become like a groundskeeper, or they'd go out and
do a job
outside, or yeah, do something that I think potentially, like as I said, where I'd be impressed by people in this question is the people who would go, no, I'd get out of my office job and I'd go and do something that day to day brought me more enjoyment.
And I think that that's it. And I think that, again, this is all hypothetical. So in theory, a lot of people would have to retrain in something else, or, you know, so this is where the hypothetical train is derailing a little bit. But I think it all depends on where do you put the value in your life. We all need money to, you know, survive. But does that define you as a person? Does that define what you are? Does that define your worth? Is your worth what car you drive? Or is your worth even, you know, how high up in your profession you are? Because if it is genuinely just how high up in your profession you are and how much of an expert you are, then does it matter if you're not being paid the same?
I think it also then spurs on the question within you of, why did I choose to do what I chose to do? Did I choose to become a lawyer because I would get a better paying job, or because I actually wanted to practice the law? You know, we come from a generation. I think everybody comes from a generation apart from the most recent one. And thank goodness, you know, our generation and before, we were brought up thinking you should want to do something that's going to give you a good salary and a good earning, because that's defines your success, whether or not you've been a success.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe what's really cool is today's generation is almost... Now, I don't think it's still easy to follow a path that you want to follow rather than one that you think you should follow. But I think there's more steps now within society that kind of will help you and enable you to make a choice of want rather than what you think you should do.
Well, I think it's often, it's so bloody hard to find any job right now. I might as well try and get one that I actually enjoy rather than training to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, and it's just as impossible to get a job for that, and I've trained for 4 to 6 years and student debt and whatever, whereas actually at least if I just try and do something I enjoy, if I can get a job, then at least it'll probably be in the line of something that I'm actually passionate about. So that at least I think that's where it's changing nowadays.
I mean, as we all know, the realities of communism probably wouldn't mean that you wouldn't really be able to go and do something that you wanted to do. You'd probably be forced to kind of continue doing what you were doing and just get paid less for it. However,
again, or, when this is,
there'll be people out there who'd be getting paid more.
Technically. Yeah. It's all very hypothetical, and we're not exactly saying like, oh, communism, that sounds great now. But it was just that hypothetical, random, oh, I wonder.
Yeah, so, yeah, but that's one to get you thinking.
Yeah, I think, as I say, personally for me, it's difficult because I don't know anything else.
Yeah.
Really.
So it's kind of the, you know how everyone asks the question, if you won the lottery, would you still do your job? I feel like this is the opposite side of the scale. You know, would you still do your job if you got paid?
Yeah. You still have to do a job. So what job would you do? Because the...
Not quite that. I don't think it's quite that. Because it's would you still do your job?
Yeah, my head's getting messed up now.
Yeah. David's confusing things. But that's the thing. When David gets confused, we still carry on talking, which makes it impossible for me to edit out. So sorry about that.
And pause.
Question number two. So this was inspired by the recent news story with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle using a private jet to go and visit Elton John in France. And, you know, Prince Harry has been speaking a lot right now, or I should say the Sussexes.
That's a really hard way to say. There's too many S's.
There is too many S's, but technically that's what they are. And... we'll call them the Duke and Duchess. There we are. So they've been speaking a lot personally about a lot of green issues and doing the best for the environment. And then we get this news story that, you know, they've gone out and done this. Elton John has said, oh, I paid the offset carbon emissions. But as we all know, that's kind of a...
Yeah, it's a bit of
BS, really.
Well, it's just like...
He did it, but it's more for his own...
We fixed a problem that we created.
Yeah. That doesn't really...
We didn't need to create it in the first place.
Anyway, so the question we are asking is, would you use a private jet if you had access to one?
I'm not going to say no, because this is the way I'm seeing the question. This is my jet, so it's just sitting at the end of the driveway anyway, rather than like I have access to it because a friend has it. So that probably means I've got a lot of money and I could do very cool things. So I'm not going to say no, I would never ever use it. I think, I'm not saying I'd use it every day to just pop somewhere, but at the same time, I think that if you're at that level of wealth, that these kind of things happen. Or you can charter them, even if you don't own one and it doesn't sit on your driveway.
Yeah, you would, this is...
You have access to it because of that money. It's not like... We're like we are right now. But we also happen to have a jet. So we can go to Tesco in the jet. You know, it's like you have all the other things associated with it. I think for me in the topical thing, it's the reason it's come up isn't because of the use of private jet, because celebrities use them all the time and for many reasons. But it's the hypocrisy of the let's fix climate change. I'll just nip over to see Elton. Or go to these conferences. Like, oh, you'll go to a conference in LA to say we should fix the planet and then flown there.
I mean, I get the fact that, you know, Harry tried to justify it by saying about their safety and things like that. Like, it was safer for them to go on a private jet than it would be for them to go in a commercial one. And I kind of got a bit frustrated about the whole thing, because I was like, okay, fair enough, if you'd been going on that jet to do some charity work or to contribute something to, you know, some global issue, or, you know, you were working.
Mm.
But he wasn't. He was just going there to have a holiday with a celebrity. And to me, that's where I kind of got a bit irked up about it. So, however, I was a bit like, you can't do this, Harry. You can't say on one hand, you know, we should all be doing X, Y, or Z for, you know, the environment and climate change and all that, and then use a private jet to go on a holiday, on a vacation.
Literally the next week or two. Yeah. And I think that that's the issue. It's not that he did it, it's that...
And I think that, you know, I did get frustrated and I did get angry, but then I have noticed recently a trend that people have been doing, and it's getting me really angry, and it's that people have been green shaming other people. So now it's a case of, I'll sit on my high and mighty throne, either reading, you know, looking on Instagram or watching the news or, you know, a headline or whatever, and shaming someone because they're not doing something green that they should be doing. So shaming someone who puts something in the bin rather than the recycling, or shaming someone who takes their private jet to go and visit Elton John, or, you know, whatever. Like, it's just green shaming. And it happened to David and I on Instagram when we took a picture of a coffee cup that we had. You know, we have our Instagram page called Bean Geeks, and that we, you know, highlight coffee from all over, everywhere, Perth, here, Manchester. And, you know, someone green shamed us because we weren't using a keep cup.
It was plastic.
Because the picture had a plastic cup. Now, I'm not going to sit here and justify why we used a plastic cup on this instance. But we did come back with a reply, and we were very content with our reply, and we didn't get angry or shame back or whatever. We just simply explained that, and this is where I'm getting to the point of green shaming, is Instagram headline, this news story here is a snapshot of that moment in time. So we, at that one moment in time, used a plastic cup. Harry, that one moment in time, used a private jet. But what we, as people who judge, don't see is the everyday life of everybody else. So this person who was shaming us on Instagram, they don't see our everyday life. They don't see what we do day in and day out to be as environmentally friendly as possible, to try and combat climate change. All those choices we make on a daily basis. Instead, they chose to shame us based on this one picture.
Mm.
Now, we even highlighted the fact that we have the majority of the pictures that we have on Instagram actually are of either keep cups, disposable cups, bio cups, paper straws, you know, the choices that we want to make to be more environmentally friendly. You know, Harry does, if you actually listen to what he says and evidence of what he does on his day-to-day life to try and be as environmentally friendly as possible, to try and help combat climate change, the fact that he is speaking to millions throughout the world to get people to make these small changes in their everyday life. And governments to make changes too. But instead we green shame based on this one thing. Yes, okay, there's a difference between using a plastic cup and taking a private jet. But just being more aware of this term green shaming and realising that people out there are starting to do that.
Yeah.
when they believe that you, quote unquote, don't make the right choice for the environment, I'm like, I am not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to be a part of that. I kind of think that that's kind of gone off in a tangent with this question. However, I realise that I have an answer.
I was just about to ask you, after all of that, what is your answer?
My answer is, if I had access to a private jet, would I use one? I 100% can tell you right now that I would not use a private jet.
And I think I know the reason why.
Let me explain. Because they are always the planes that crash.
It's got nothing to do with anything. You just don't like the little diddy planes.
Small planes always crash, so I wouldn't use one. And also, if you had the wealth, like, I'd be flying first class anywhere I needed to go. But I would still not, like, I would still be vet. If I had all the money in the world, I wouldn't be buzzing around on planes all the time. I know that because of what I know, I would be using an aeroplane as little as possible.
Yeah.
And using other means of public transport. But I would be using public transport. But initially, it's because all the small planes crash.
So it's just a self-preservation thing.
Yeah.
As soon as you said that, I was like, I know the answer to this for you.
And finally, this is...
the most important question.
Oh, this is just a fun one to end on. And I'm sure everyone's got a really good opinion on this. So, hypothetically speaking, if Jurassic Park were real, would you go and visit it? Now, David is a big Jurassic Park fan. Has been since it came out.
First film I ever saw.
First...
at the cinema.
At the cinema.
At the cinema.
I was like, whoa, you deprived boy.
Wasn't allowed to watch TV.
Would you visit Jurassic Park, David?
Yes, just not in the first few weeks. So if there's any discount tickets, you know, grand opening discount, just give it 6 months, check everything's okay.
To be fair, David.
Give it a go.
In the first Jurassic Park film, Jurassic Park had been going for quite some time.
No.
It had been, they'd had to have developed these dinosaurs and they had to grow. So Jurassic Park in itself wasn't open to the public at that point, but it existed. And so technically it had been going for quite some time.
I also think that potentially the way to know it's safer is if we had some kind of regulatory board to make sure that everything was up to scratch. Because that was the initial in the first one. He was stingy. He says no expense spared, but you only had one guy on basically keeping the system up. And he was rubbish. He was crook.
But they didn't know he was a crook.
But you need more than one. What if he goes on holiday? Who's going to look after the park then?
I mean, if you think about it, like, you want to take the next few films, Jurassic World, had been going for quite some time. When they went to visit Jurassic World, it had been an attraction for a while.
Yeah, but then someone tried to do... I forget how that one went wrong. But I'm pretty sure. Oh, they got greedy. They developed the crazy one that went invisible.
But that could have just been, you know, it'd been open for quite some time. You could have gone in week 2, week 9. Fine. You know, that one.
So, I still feel if it was real and something like the films hadn't happened.
Yeah. So would you go?
I would have. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when your head gets bitten off by a T-Rex, don't blame me.
Well, I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't have a head.
It's one of those things.
Would you come with me? See, this is the problem. We're all basing this on these horror stories that have made up films that didn't happen. In the real world, everyone's safe and sound because health and safety would make them really tame.
Well, I feel like health and safety allowed it to be created in the first place, so...
Like, if you look at zoos and...
I mean, that's the thing. if a tiger got let loose in a zoo, it could do some damage. And it has done, like where it has, where yeah. they've have escaped in zoos. So technically, those things, we have wild animals in zoos that when they get released cause havoc. So, yeah. But you still go and visit a zoo.
Exactly. See, you don't need, I was...
I think for me, I wouldn't go and see the, I wouldn't go to Jurassic Park because you had to get a helicopter to go there.
So again, little flying machines.
Little flying machines.
You could get a boat.
Yeah, I mean, they used a boat in the third one, I think. Eventually.
But yeah, but that, no, that was because that stupid rich kid got stuck after he parachuted on.
Yeah.
The Jurassic Park and Jurassic World are the only one with actual theme parks that people went to.
Yeah, I think, so the original Jurassic Park, I wouldn't get a helicopter to go there. But Jurassic World?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I like going to the zoo. But would I want to see a dinosaur? Would I want to see any animal that had been artificially created?
Yeah.
Probably not. Because I don't believe that... Just because they could do it doesn't mean they should do it. And I don't believe that we should be bringing extinct animals back from the dead just because we can. So I would say no, because I don't believe in what they were doing. I don't believe that was the right thing to do.
We saw dinosaurs at Perth Zoo.
No.
Yes, we did.
We saw an animal that looks a lot like a dinosaur.
No, we saw dinosaurs at Perth Zoo.
Oh.
They were robots. But we saw dinosaurs at Perth Zoo, and they were really good, and I was happy with that.
Although I remember you standing, so they were animatronic.
Yeah, they moved and
they
went roar.
They moved and they went roar. But I must admit, like, they were all life size as well. So what they believe is the life size. Although they based the Velociraptor on what we now know is more accurate of a Velociraptor compared to what we saw in the Jurassic Park films. And yeah, a Velociraptor does not look as scary. It's got feathers.
It's like
and
little
it's
and
just,
furry.
Yeah, it's a lot smaller and it's weird. But yeah, I remember David taking a picture of the T-Rex and just being like, we were both like, I know it's not real, but...
Hypothetically, what if it was? What would you do?
Stay still.
See?
Yes.
I reckon that would happen though. If that was the real and they actually had loads of like real T-Rexes and they got out, I reckon everyone would stand still because that's what Dr. Alan Grant told you. And it's 99% probably nonsense because there's no way that they could figure that out from fossils probably. And then everyone would get eaten.
There you go.
So actually, just run.
And what I was referring to before was at Perth Zoo, there's an animal in Australia called a cassowary, and Google cassowary, and it looks like a dinosaur.
It's like a dinosaur emu. So if you thought emus were crazy looking, this is like...
And it's like the same height as you, and it's a beautiful creature, but it's very frightening. And I don't think I would have liked to have come across one in the wild. And you can in Australia.
Yeah. And their feet are like death claws.
Yeah, you know that Velociraptor claw
that
you see in the first Jurassic Park film? Yeah, it's like
You're like, oh, that's lovely. Please don't kill me.
Yeah.
Even just with its stare, you're like, oh, God.
And it was when, at one point when we went there, it was like chasing us like up and down the enclosure.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a bit frightening. Yeah. So that's a real life looking dinosaur. But yeah.
I would just want to see the Triceratops.
Everyone wants to see the Triceratops and its giant pile of poo.
Ah. No, I don't want to see a sick one.
Aww.
I want to see an all right one.
Well, why don't instead you go and see a rhino? Because that looks like a lot like a triceratops.
But there's not that many of them left, and I'd have to go...
You've seen a rhino in
Perth
Zoo.
Oh, in the zoo, yeah. It was always facing the wrong way. No. I think that would be the main thing with Jurassic Park, that would always be the shame, is that you want to see them, but I don't want to be in one of those like gyrosphere ball things around a T-Rex. And otherwise, you have to have a really small enclosure to see the T-Rex or get a goat come up.
Yeah, it's always the goat. Poor goat.
So you could easily go around the whole park and see nothing.
I feel like now if they were... redoing Jurassic Park now, they wouldn't use a goat because, like, there's so many people who just adore goats that they would be like...
What would they use, though?
Well, I don't know. I think goats are having a fashionable moment right now, so maybe they'd just use a sheep or something.
I kind of feel the goat wouldn't be that placid. I've never seen a goat stand that still for that long.
It was chained to the...
Still, they would give it a go and suddenly be halfway up a tree.
Probably.
That's the most inaccurate fact of the whole film.
Oh dear, right, so we would love to know, hypothetically speaking, how you would answer those questions and anything you would like to contribute to the debate here today. Next week we are on a little holiday, so there won't be a podcast next week, but we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with episode 131. It will be another Did You See This episode, so we're really looking forward to that because we had so much fun doing the first one, so we're really looking forward to doing that every once a fortnight.
Keep an eye out for cool stuff.
Yeah, so if you do see anything, remember to fire off the article to chasetheredgrape@outlook.com. But if you want to leave a comment or send us a message, either through the website or email, or you can send us a DM on Instagram. But that's it for this week, guys. We hope to see you next week for more... No, in 2 weeks' time. 2 weeks' time.
Steady.
Remember, Jen. For more fun chat and discussion. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.